you know, if they'd sit through an actual game, and I think next year might be just that threshold. So we're looking forward to getting down there and seeing some games.
How old are they, Matt?
I got 2, 4, and 6, so I'm in the trenches.
Yeah, no doubt, man. That's a lot harder than rushing the quarterback, I would imagine.
Oh, absolutely.
how much do you follow Iowa football now, you know, with three young kids? Do you get a chance to watch them on Saturday? And what did you think of what you saw this season?
Yeah, absolutely. I got, you know, when I built my house, I built a massive porch and bar/grill and outdoor TV, and I fly a huge, one of the biggest flags in town is my Hawkeye flag, and I watch them religiously, and you know, I thought it was a good year. It's typical Iowa, you know, we could get a big win in and go to a bowl game. You know, I wish that we would have finished the season off a little bit stronger, but you know, the guys have played tough and you know, haven't let me down. So I gotta say it's a win for this year.
Josie Jewell, first three-time captain at Iowa, defensive player of the year this year in the Big Ten. What comes to mind when you think about him and you watch him play?
Oh, he's a stud. You can tell he loves the game. You can tell he's a student of the game. And he's athletic. He can cover from sideline to sideline. And he'll come up and hit you. And he makes big play after big play. So he's one of my favorites for sure.
40-63 on the Hurtin and Stocker text line, giving the Willowbrook Warriors a shout out on the text line for you, Matt.
Sweet. Gold alma mater.
Talking with former Hawkeye Matt Roth here on a Friday night, the Todd Bromelkamp Show on KGYM. What goes through your mind when you look at the defensive linemen that the Hawkeyes have right now, especially A.J. Epinesa? I know being a Chicago area guy, you're probably pretty familiar with him.
Yeah, I love watching him play. He's definitely polished for being such a, you know, underclassman. He's got a knack to get to the quarterback, and he's relentless. So, you know, he's another guy that I love watching when it comes to Saturdays. But I think the whole defense as a whole have played pretty well this year. So, you know, they've been fun to watch, and they haven't given up many big plays. And just the typical, you know, Iowa defense that comes every week. They're blue-collar guys, you know. They love to get to the quarterback. They won't give up big plays and give us a chance to win every week.
You came in as a linebacker, Matt, and they moved you to the defensive line. What was that conversation like about moving positions, and what was that transition like for you?
It sucked. You know, I went to Miami, I went to Nebraska, and with the recruiting, and they all wanted me to play rush end. And so when I got to Iowa, they were the ones that wanted me to play, you know, supposedly middle linebacker. And after a couple of weeks, they're like, hey, why don't you go down there with the defensive lineman? And I was like, you got to be kidding me. But, you know, after a couple of weeks, and Norm actually, you know, would check in with me every practice and see how I was doing, and was just reassuring and very encouraging. And, you know, after a while, I started to buy in and believe that that'd be a good position for me.
And you were going against the 2002 line with, like, Gallery and Steinbach and those guys, right?
Yeah, it wasn't a good introduction, to say the least. You know, I had to go it's those guys. And, you know, I was used to playing middle linebacker, so my pad level was pretty high. And they introduced me to the trenches very early and often. So, you know, it's one of those old either get your butt kicked or start to learn to play the position. And, you know, I was lucky enough to make the transition, and, you know, the rest is history.
Now, a lot of high-profile recruits, especially in this day and age, if there was sort of a bait-and-switch on the position change, they would have hightailed it out of town. Was it Norm Parker that sort of led you to stick it out there in Iowa City?
You know, I never thought of quitting or, you know, transferring or any of that. So I knew that you know, my dad actually, he after a week of making the transition, he started showing me all the teams that were going to a 3-4 defense, and reassured me that rushing the quarterback wouldn't be a bad option, you know, especially if I wanted to play in the NFL. So, you know, he was very big on making the transition as well. And, you know, I said the hell with it. And I just threw myself into it full force and tried to learn the position as best I could. And it paid off.
Those of us that got to spend time around Norm realize, you know, what a special person he was. What are some of your fondest memories of Norm, and what did he mean to you?
Norm was great. You know, he always had the one-liners. He was like the Roger Dangerfield of the one-liners. And, you know, to this day, I always, you know, bring up some of those one-liners that he used to use. And he was just a great guy that really, really got people and understood people and could get the best out of his players and could relate to them like no other. So, you know, there's a special dear place in my heart for Norm, and he was as good as coach as he was as a person.
Former Hawkeye Matt Roth with us. So when you look back on those 7 years in the NFL, what sticks out to you most?
You know, I think it's just teammates, you know, trying to prove yourself every week and year in, year out. And, you know, one thing I always wanted to do was gain the respect of my teammates and coaches. And, you know, being in the locker room, just joke around and, you know, the camaraderie that you have with your teammates. And, you know, the games come and go and the plays come and go, but your teammates, they're the ones that, you know, the days and years in, year out in the locker room is the stuff you remember.
Now, we remember covering you. You were so dominant at Iowa and at the college level. Was there a welcome to the NFL moment for you where you realized, hey, I'm not in the Big Ten anymore?
Yeah, you know, it was going in and being amongst men, you know. I remember my first couple years, I was my defensive line room was, there was no guy younger than year 12. So guys were asking me if I was going to be picking up kids and carpooling to school. I was like 22 years old. I was, you know, I was just, these guys were so much older and, you know, established in the league. So that right away was a big welcoming to the NFL. But, you know, they were good guys. They taught me well, and I learned well from them. And, you know, it was a fun part of my life.
Speaking of the NFL, is the story true about you and Channing Crowder getting a stripper for Nick Saban?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Tell the listeners about that story.
The PG-13
well, yes,
version.
Please.
it came down to we had to do a talent show, right? And I couldn't sing. I could, you know, I'm a good dancer, but you know, the talent show was so awful with the guys previous that, like I said, the guys in my room were year 12 and older. So they told me if you know my talent show wasn't good that. You know, they were basically going to have my ass. So I met up with Crowder and, you know, told him let's try to up the ante with the talent show. And thought that maybe bringing in some exotic dancers might get me out of, you know, a year's worth of punishment. So sure enough, Crowder came through and, you know, nonetheless, had a big hit for the talent show.
Former Hawkeye Matt Roth with us for just a few more minutes here on KGYM in Eastern Iowa, reliving some of the glory days from his college and NFL career. You went from Miami to Cleveland. What was that transition like for you?
Just the move was awful. Football was great, though. You know, I had Rob Ryan, who I respect, and love, and he was a great X and O's coach and a great motivator. So I loved playing for him. But going from the sandy beaches of Miami and then showing up in the middle of nowhere in Berea, Ohio, was kind of difficult. But like I said, football was fun and made up for it. So I, you know, you take the good with the bad.
What do you remember from the conversation after the Capital One Bowl pep rally with Kirk Ferentz? What was that like? And were you? Go ahead, you take it away. You tell the story better than I do.
He didn't say much. He didn't say much. So you know, I guess he just figured that it was water on the bridge and couldn't stop it. What had happened during the pep rally, but I figured it was my last couple of days and couldn't get in trouble, so might as well said what was on my mind.
We got a lot of beat writers that probably owe you a debt of gratitude, because after that, we used to have to go cover those things, yeah. And then after that, they sanitized him to the point where they didn't allow any players to talk, so there was no news coming out of him. Hey, before we let you go, Matt, I want to ask, we talked about Norm Parker, but Hawkeye fans may enjoy hearing the story about how Chris Doyle, the role that he played in your recruitment. There was something, a story, if I remember right, about letters that the coaches that were recruiting you wrote to your father, right?
Oh, yeah. So, you know, my dad was helped me out through the recruiting process, and obviously it was going to be my own decision, but, you know, everywhere else they were talking a big game, and my dad actually wrote the strength conditioning coaches and, you know, asked them to answer a couple questions, and Chris Doyle was the one that responded with obviously the best answers because they're genuine. And, you know, I always, my dad and myself always looked to Chris. He was, you know, with us all throughout the off season and during the season, and you know, was a big motivator and as far as the team goes, and you know, was highly active as far as lifting and running and the whole off season. So my dad wrote a letter to all the various strength conditioning coaches, and obviously Chris Doyle was the one that came through with his answers, and the rest is history.
Great stuff, Matt. We appreciate you taking time to join us. Hey, since you're in the construction business here, I'm about to finish the basement in my house in the coming years, and you mentioned building your house and putting the bar in there. What's the one thing I got to have in my basement bar?
You got to have a good refrigerator, man. Keep the beer cold.
Good refrigerator. Appreciate it, Matt. Hey, take care, and we'll see you when you make it back to Iowa City with the kids next time.
All right, take care, guys.
Matt Roth, former Hawkeye legend, the one and only. And we talked, I know I've lamented on the air that there are no more Fred Barrs in the program, but it was sort of the transition. The mantle was handed off from Fred Barr to Matt Roth, and that's pretty much where the color dried up among the Hawkeyes. It's hard to find a good quote nowadays.
Yeah, they broke the mold with Matt Roth, no doubt about it. He was entertaining guy
recruit,
and a
too.
Heck of a player.
Big-time recruit.
He and I think it was Blake Larson were the photo was those two guys in a hot tub at Miami, and the
yep.
Iowa fans were like, oh no, he's going to the U, and they both ended up coming here.
And we were talking about Blake Larson yeah. on that drive home last week from Nebraska. Really, the perfect timing of the internet and recruiting coverage was just sort of blowing up, and people put so much hope into Blake Larson and not so much into Matt Roth. Blake Larson overshadowed Roth as a high school
oh, yeah.
player here in the state, and Blake Larson, now you said a cop, a police officer in Kansas City, right?
That's the last I had heard, yeah. So,
didn't work out on the football field. Matt Roth certainly did, though. You look back, I mean, he was dominant on that, on those great defenses with Greenway and Hodge, and you had Roth up front on the defensive line.
And you can, I mean, what else but construction for Matt Roth with the hard hat out there? I mean, with the... You
yeah,
know, the white
I'm trying to picture. He did say union gig. I'm trying to
okay.
picture between whether he's got the short cut off, the short dress shirt with the necktie, or whether he's out there getting his hands dirty. But
He's an outdoor type guy, though. I bet
definitely.
You, I bet you, even if he is doing the union thing, I bet you he's not afraid to get his hands in the dirt a little
and
bit.
I think I know what our SoundCloud clip tonight is going to be. That's an interview that I think if you missed it, Hawkeye fans are going to enjoy hearing. And you, I give you props for asking him about the story with the stripper and Saban, because it's been out there, and it's one of those things you got to see. Man, did that really happen or not? Because Saban is so... He's very Ferentz-like. He's very reserved and business-like. I go back, speaking of Saban, I go back to that Capital One Bowl where Saban was at LSU and was getting ready to bolt town, and I remember how testy he was in the post game after that. And, oh, he's not going anywhere. Yeah, he was going somewhere. Stayed in the state of Florida. Went and coached the Dolphins for a couple years.
Really was his only failure in football. He couldn't figure out the NFL.
Won at Toledo, won at Michigan State. Won at LSU, didn't win in Miami, and now look what he's doing in Alabama.
Yeah, he's college is for him. I think that fits him the best. I could imagine his demeanor and his coaching, how he coaches, not working with NFL players.
No, especially those vets.
Yeah,
those guys that have been around for a while. But great success in the college game, and we'll see. We'll find out on Sunday where Alabama fits into the bowl game puzzle this year. College football playoff show, I believe, starts at 11 Central Time on ESPN on Sunday, and then shortly after we'll find out where the Hawkeyes and Cyclones are headed for their bowl games. No bowl game for you and I at their level, but they are in the second round of the FCS playoffs, heading up to South Dakota State, again, a team that they beat by 20 points during the regular season, a win, and they advance. I knew this, or I said it earlier on Wednesday, it's New Hampshire or somebody else on the horizon for you and I in the quarterfinals if they win and advance. So we're going to be talking Hawkeye basketball, though, when we come back. Iowa getting ready for Big Ten play tomorrow at 4 o'clock, Carver Hawkeye Arena. And no, don't do a double take. It is December 1st. Big Ten play begins in earnest. Don't forget, you got a chance to pick up tickets to see Foreigner at the U.S. Cellular Center, A Night with Foreigner and the Dave Egger Orchestra. Tickets are on sale. They went on sale at 10 a.m. this morning. The concert is in late March at the U.S. Cellular Center. We've got a pair of tickets, and we want to give those to you tonight. Sometime in the next 10 minutes, be listening for your chance to win. We'll give you the number to call. 626. Take a quick timeout. When we come back, we will have those Foreigner tickets for you, as well as another Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Back after this.
Let's visit your folks in Florida over winter break.
Good idea.
I'm checking fares from the Quad City International Airport. They have nonstop Allegiant flights to the Fort Myers area starting December 15th. Ooh, that's perfect. The kids can swim and you and your dad can play golf.
What about you?
Oh, I'll be shopping with your mom, talking about how lucky you two are to have such spectacular wives.
Plan your Florida getaway to Fort Myers or four other Allegiant destinations at qcairport.com. The Quad City International Airport, making travel easier.
At Nationwide, our agents go above and beyond to understand and protect what matters most to you. Our local Nationwide agents are part of our member-driven community, where serving members' needs is our priority. Contact True North Personal Lines at itruenorth.com today. Nationwide is on your side. Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and Affiliates, Columbus, Ohio. Subject to underwriting guidelines, review, and approval.
Because we have so many clients referring us to their friends, I think that's our biggest, best story. Hi, I'm Patty with Network Computer Solutions. I really think it's about us building that relationship and being an extension of their business. And even if I am just talking on the phone to them, you can see that smile on their face and know that another problem is solved.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
The Matt Roth stories that you folks won't hear on the KGYM airwaves. The Todd Brommelkamp Show back with you. It's the Big Hour, brought to you by our friends at Hawkeye Title and Settlement in Iowa City. Steve Anderson and his crew celebrating 14 years in business. Keep them in mind the next time that you go to buy or sell your house. Great interview with Matt Roth. It's going to be available on the podcast, KGYMradio.com, after the show's over tonight. High school basketball on the way, and a whole lot more. As a matter of fact, if you check out our website, we've got the full weekend schedule right up through Sunday and all the NFL games we're going to be bringing your way. Right now, time for another Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
Fran McCaffrey spoke to the media today in Iowa City. He says Connor McCaffrey still isn't cleared for contact, but he has been participating in non-contact drills, and he's also got a chance to be cleared next week. Matt Campbell and the Cyclones got a commitment this evening from linebacker Chandler Pulvermacher from Heartland, Wisconsin. Pulvermacher is 6'2" and 190 pounds and had previously been committed to North Dakota State. The Iowa State women fell to Drake last night, 83-80, to fall to 3-3 on the season. Drake controlled the game from the get-go and led 41-31 at halftime, and led by Sarah Ryan with 24 points, were able to hold off a late push by the Cyclones. The Bulldogs moved to 4-3. Friend of the show and now former Colonels manager Tommy Watkins is going to be heading out of town as the Twins have announced some changes to their minor league system. Another former Colonels manager, Jake Maurer, is said to be weighing his professional options, and Watkins is going to take his place at AA Chattanooga. Tonight after the show, we're going to have some high school basketball for you. We'll have North Scott and Prairie in a boys matchup on 1600 AM, the historic main gym. We'll also have the Cedar Rapids Kennedy girls traveling to Iowa City High on 106.3 FM, the South Gym, as well as 107.5 FM, the North Gym. And it's going to be our first weekend with no football for the Hawkeyes or Cyclones, but the UNI Panthers have a playoff game against 6th-ranked South Dakota State. We'll carry that game for you tomorrow beginning at 1 o'clock on 1600 AM, the historic main gym.
A little bit of Major League Baseball news to pass along. It's being reported out of Chicago by multiple sources that the Cubs are going to offer contracts to 6 of their 7 arbitration-eligible players. The player who will be non-tendered by the midnight deadline tonight, former closer Hector Rondon. So Cubs didn't want to run the risk of Rondon accepting what I think would have been in the neighborhood of about a $6 million tender. So he's going to hit the market as a free agent. The other players eligible will get offers. Doesn't necessarily mean they're coming back to the Cubs, but it does set them up for compensation down the road. Speaking of baseball, sounds like the Yankees are down to 2 choices for their next manager. Former Yankees Aaron Boone and Hensley Mullins are the 2 finalists for the job. There were people pushing for Alex Rodriguez to get an interview. Would you see A-Rod in the dugout, especially with the Yankees, the way that things ended for him?
I don't think that would be a good situation at all.
I did enjoy a tweet. As a matter of fact, I retweeted it earlier today that said, "Welcome to Bizarro World 2017, where people hate Derek Jeter and love A-Rod." Because Derek Jeter and the Marlins thing is not going very well. There was a story earlier today about them basically not bringing back a longtime scout while he was in the hospital undergoing cancer treatment. Just the way that things work out sometimes when you have to tell somebody that their employment is over, but it was a bad look for the organization. And then Jeter passed the buck to the guy working below him on the power structure. So between that and all the Giancarlo Stanton talks, look, he ain't going to be a Cub. He ain't going to be a Met. So I know you and I don't necessarily care. As long as he's not in the division with your guys anymore, and as long as the Cubs don't have to see him a whole lot, he winds up on the West Coast, right? He's got to agree to that trade, given the fact they gave him an ultimatum that they'd tear the team around him down so that it would just be him and winning 55 games a year. He's got to agree to move, right?
You would think so, but I mean, he holds all the leverage in this situation. If he wants to go back to Southern California, his home, he'll say, "Hey, get me to the Angels or the Dodgers," and both of those teams have, well, the Angels prospects aren't, that's not actually a deep system.
The Giants offer, though, the reported offer that's on the table for him is awful, but the reports are that if they're willing to eat a ton of the money, the Marlins would take a minimal return.
And also, from Stanton's point of view, I saw something today where the taxes in California will be significantly higher on that salary than they are in Miami. So that's got to factor in for him too. He's got all the leverage though. He can say, "Hey, I'm losing this in taxes. Who's paying me this?"
I've got Tennessee fans trolling me on Twitter now with pictures of the Tax Slayer Bowl from Jacksonville. Hey, man, go ahead and put that in your pipe and smoke it. It wound up being the highlight of the Butch Jones era in Knoxville. If that's what you want to hang your hat on.
What's that stadium walk thing they do? I got caught up in that trying to get into the press gate. They have these fans that march to the stadium, and I got caught up in that. It was very unnerving.
I'll see if I can respond to this Yahoo. But the Tennessee fans clearly not taking to – that was in response to me retweeting the Pat 40 column about Tennessee fans getting their what they wanted and now being the laughingstock of college football. We move from college football to college hoops. Yes, I know it's hard to believe, but Big Ten play is already underway. And Iowa is going to get its first taste of Big Ten action tomorrow, 4 o'clock, Carver-Hawkeye Arena. Tickets still available as the Hawkeyes take on Penn State, a Penn State team that hasn't looked all that bad at times this year and has some talent coming into Carver-Hawkeye Arena, but like the Hawkeyes fell in the Big Ten ACC Challenge earlier this week. We'll hear from Fran McCaffrey and some of the Iowa players when we return. Final 30 minutes of the Todd Brommelkamp Show on the way after this.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Joan London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-471-4351.
There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-471-4351. That's 1-800-471-4351.
ESPN Radio Sports Beat. From Charlotte, here's Dari Noka.
Who faces more pressure Sunday when the Giants play the Raiders? Giants head coach Ben McAdoo or the man he's chosen to start at quarterback over two-time Super Bowl champion Eli Manning, Geno Smith? McAdoo or Smith, more pressure? It's not an easy answer. I think at first you'd say McAdoo, right? He's the second-year head coach who will go down in history as the guy in charge when Eli missed a start for the first time in some 13 seasons. And the change is coming as the Giants sit 2-9. Why on earth would you even suggest that Eli doesn't play out the season? So you can look at some young guys and build for the future? Do we not know what Geno Smith is? He's no young pup you need to get a look at. He's a five-year guy with 30 career starts. He's won 12 of those 30, and he's thrown 8 more interceptions than touchdowns. You think Geno Smith is the future of the Giants? So much that when Big Blue's offense takes the field for the first time in 2 days, you'll say, finally, what's this kid got? No. You know, I still can't even believe this is happening, and I was wrong. The answer to the question is easy. Ben McAdoo has all the heat on this one. In 60 seconds, who's in?
Sometimes the best seats in the house are above it. In college football, that's the Goodyear blimp. And for more than 60 years, we've seen what it takes to be worthy. It takes toughness, dedication, and perseverance. Because seasons aren't measured by wins and losses, but by heart. Some call it hard work, determination, or grit. We call it blimp worthy. Goodyear, official sponsor of the college football playoff.
Guys, the JCPenney Holiday Challenge is here. Get everything you need for less than you think. Get her something she's really gonna love, like diamond studs or pendant, each just $25. Starting Thursday, save up to 60% on select fine jewelry. Plus, get an extra 40% off sale prices with your JCPenney credit card. Or take an extra 30% off any way you pay. Surprise her this holiday with the perfect gift. Hurry in, end soon. JCPenney. Offers represent savings on regular original prices while supplies last. Credit offers subject to credit approval. Some exclusions apply. See store jcp.com for details.
What's the College Football Playoff Committee need more than anything? For Oklahoma to beat TCU Saturday in the Big 12 title game, and they need Wisconsin to beat Ohio State Saturday in the Big 10 title game. That one, though, not as likely. The Badgers are about a 6-point dog. But if OU and Wisconsin both win, the committee gets bailed out. No tough decisions, and your four playoff teams are SEC champ, ACC champ, Oklahoma, and Wisconsin. Close the books, end the meeting, piece of cake. But if OU or Whiskey lose, look out. It likely comes down to this: one loss Alabama, or two loss yet conference champ Ohio State. The debate has long begun. My take, though, I'd put Ohio State in. Saturday would give the Buckeyes 3 wins better than Alabama's best win, and that should be enough to make up for that hideous loss at Iowa. With the ESPN Radio Sports Beat, I'm Dari Noka.
What are you going to do with your old car? You can try selling it, you could junk it, or you can donate it to Heritage for the Blind. Your car will be towed away for free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-814-2162. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats. It doesn't matter if your vehicle runs or not. It'll be towed away for free, and you'll be supporting those that need help. Heritage for the Blind is a nonprofit organization that helps the visually impaired live fuller lives. Call right now to donate your car. And as a special thank you for calling, you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to many exciting locations. Call Heritage for the Blind right now. Call 1-800-814-2162. Donating is easy, and your vehicle is towed away for free. Plus, you'll get a free vacation voucher. Call now, 1-800-814-2162. That's 1-800-814-2162.
Get a financial education Monday mornings at 7:20 on the gym during Corridor Money Matters featuring Tryon Investments. Learn even more at tryoninvestments.com.
6:39, welcome back in the Todd Bromelkamp Show. Rob Howe riding shotgun tonight from Hawkeye Nation. Alex will be back with us on Monday, hopefully with an AAC championship in tow for his brother, who's going to set a Memphis school record tomorrow when he starts his 50th consecutive game for the Tigers and started over the course of his career at three different positions on the offensive line. Pretty interesting story. We'll see what football holds for him. Right now, what holds for you is a chance to take home tickets to see Foreigner, A Night with Foreigner, and the Dave Eggers Orchestra coming to the U.S. Cellular Center in March of 2018. Tickets went on sale this morning at 10 a.m., but you can get yours right now if you're caller number 6-2-319-366-1600. 6:40, final 20 minutes of the program tonight. We'll spend most of it talking Big Ten hoops as Iowa getting ready to welcome Penn State to Carver Hawkeye. It's Star Wars night tomorrow. Are you dressing up?
I wanted to ask Fran that today, and I didn't get it in.
I would have liked to have heard his response to that. Is Fran a Star Wars guy or not?
And could he be trusted with a lightsaber on the sidelines?
The officials
would be worried if Fran was wielding a lightsaber.
The white magic days, right? That would have been right around the before his coaching tenure at Lehigh started. He was in the mid-80s is when his career. So he would have been a young 20-something when Star Wars first hit the theaters. What, 78? Was that the...
That was the first one,
The first one. I'm going to get in trouble with the hardcore Star Wars fans because I'm not calling it by its actual name. I'm referring to the first installment as Star Wars, and they will tell you that that is not what the name of the first installment of the movie is, the fourth. It's A New Hope, isn't it?
That's the original
one? The original, Star Wars A New Hope.
I saw the first three, and
the text line will let me know. The text line will let me know. I tried for the longest time. I said I wasn't going to watch any of the newer ones. 1, 2, and 3, which were released after 4, 5, and 6.
Yeah, I saw 4, 5, and 6, and I was out.
And I did. I have seen 1, 2, and 3, and now there's more of them. And I'm like, okay, you got me. But Carrie Fisher's dead. Mark Hamill's at the end of his line. And
is Billy Dee Williams, Lando Calrissian, is he still around?
I don't know, but you know what? If my guess is Billy Dee probably needs the money if he's still around.
Yep.
He's probably doing. Let's get the gang back together and
he's doing autograph signings. Hey, it's Lando.
Quit doing the that was Peter Griffin's alias on Family Guy when he played an undercover drug sting at the high school. He went undercover as Lando Griffin, I think was. I can't remember. Maybe it wasn't Griffin as his last name, but Lando was his first name. 319-366-1600, the Hertine and Stocker text line. Is that Tammy and Monticello? We've got a female winner tonight. All right, how about that? Tammy's going to see Foreigner and the Dave Eggers Orchestra at the U.S. Cellular Center coming up in March. It's a Thursday night. I think it's March 29th. I don't have the calendar in front of me. Tickets on sale right now. Ticketmaster.com, or you can stop by the U.S. Cellular Center box office in downtown Cedar Rapids and pick them up. I don't know what do you think the attendance will be like tomorrow? We were talking about that a couple minutes ago during the commercial break. The Hawkeyes kind of limping into this one off of the Virginia Tech loss. They haven't been playing very crisply at this point. Penn State's not a Michigan State. It's not a marquee draw. I still think it could be a good basketball game tomorrow, but one that maybe the casual fan's not going to be drawn to.
Yeah, and they're going up against championship Saturday in college football, too. So how much of a pull is it to get over and watch Iowa? Hopefully people show up because it's Star Wars night day.
Yeah.
I wonder what this is going to entail. I haven't gotten any inside info on if there's going to be like spaceships flying through there, or you know, Yoda shows up, or what's going on. But hopefully, this is handled well.
I want one media member to come in costume tomorrow, and or to ask.
It's encouraged.
Ask a Star Wars. Yeah, never forget the day that people were upset with us on Press Row for not participating in the card stunt at Carver Hawkeye Arena. They didn't understand why the media doesn't do stuff like that. Fran was in Carver Hawkeye Arena earlier today along with some of the players and gave some interesting answers, not necessarily all that in-depth, but they are coming off a loss to Virginia Tech in Blacksburg earlier this week. And he was asked to what, if anything, they can build on, especially after going back and looking at film on that. Here he is.
What was the biggest thing you took away when rewatching film of that Virginia Tech game?
We were inconsistent in a lot of areas. We were not, like there was times when we did everything we wanted to do, and there was times when we didn't do anything we were supposed to do. And that's, you know, obviously concerning. You know, you got to get that straightened out. You got to, you know, you have a game plan for a reason, and you can make adjustments to the game plan. But whatever the game plan is, and whether we've made adjustments or not, we've got to consistently perform to that expectation. And, you know, there were possessions where we were really good, and there were possessions where we had breakdowns. And they're a team that I think really takes advantage well of the mistakes that you make with their running game and their speed. So if you take a bad shot, for example, that's a layup at the other end. Well, you know, we addressed that before the game. Like if we're taking bad shots, it's the same as a turnover. And it's going to be a layup at the other end. And you know, we go 2 for 15 at the start of the second half, and really didn't have great ball movement. You know, you need good ball movement on the road against a team of that caliber. We didn't have.
Fran, earlier today in Iowa City, you were there, Rob. What else did he have to say?
Translation of that answer to that question is, was not happy with shot selection and detail and sticking with the game plan. They seemed to do that in the first half, and then it fell apart in the second half. And I think the what I took out of today's press conference from both Fran and the players is a lack of consistency. They play well in spurts, but it's just inconsistent. And you just can't do that. They're not good enough to overcome lapses where they shoot 2 for 15 to start the second half. You just can't do that, especially on the road against a good team.
Yeah, what was 18% in the second half? I mean, they could not buy a basket.
They had 8 points for the first 15 minutes, and Tyler Cook had them all the second half. It was painful to watch.
That was my wife's first introduction to this year's Hawkeye basketball team. We flipped on the second half, and she was sitting next to me on the couch, and she looks over at me, and she goes, are they going to be like this all year? And I said, I don't think so. At least I hope not, especially in Big Ten play, which leads us to tomorrow. Fran was asked his feelings on starting Big Ten play. Remember, this all goes back to the Big Ten playing its championship, its tournament in Madison Square Garden this year. But because of the Big East, they needed to play it the weekend before they would normally do it. So they had to move back a couple conference games. Iowa is going to host Penn State tomorrow, and then next week will hit the road for Bloomington. What's Fran think about starting Big Ten play early?
Does it feel a little weird starting the Big Ten season now compared to, you know, years past? It's always around
here. Yeah, I mean, it's different. I mean, I said this before when we made this change. I mean, when I was at Siena, that's what we always did. We always had the tournament a week earlier, and we always played two league games in December. So I'm used to it myself, but I'm not playing, so it doesn't matter. You know, our players, it's different. But, you know, it's like anything else. You just play the next game on your schedule. You don't think about it that much. Obviously, it has great importance. I think greater importance, being that it's a conference game. If there's any question about that. We have great respect for that program and know we have to play well to win.
I guess the way to look at this, Rob, is Michigan State is looking like the clear-cut favorite that everybody knew they would be coming into the season. And then it's wide open. just like everybody knew it was going to be coming into the Big Ten play.
Yeah, Northwestern hasn't been as good as people thought they would be.
They've been bad.
Wisconsin, not as good. You know, so it was not a good week for the Big Ten. The challenge was not much of a challenge at all for the ACC.
And we've seen years where the Big Ten has come out with the upper hand, and we've seen years where it's been a little bit even, but it was definitely the thumb was on the scale for the ACC this year as far as the matchups go. And it wasn't didn't work out well for Penn State or Iowa, both teams coming in off losses in the challenge to Carver Hawkeye Arena tomorrow. What's the, in your mind, what's the key to success in this three-game stretch for the Hawkeyes? Because they play Penn State and Indiana in Big Ten play, and then they've got to go to Ames and take on Iowa State, which is in-state rivalry. We know Iowa State's kind of in rebuilding mode, but they got over a couple early season struggles and have looked okay so far.
I think a lot of us focus on offense and who's scoring and you know what's happening on that end of the floor. But I think with this Iowa team, it's similar to last year. When they do well, when it does well, it plays well on defense. And that was a sore point last year. When they didn't play well, it was usually could be attributed to what was happening on the defensive end of the floor. I asked Tyler Cook today, what can you guys do better on the defensive end of the floor on ball defense, guarding and helping the helper? That's a lot of times when you have a young team and you're, you know, integrating guys like Jack Nungy and Luca Garza, it's learning how to play together and be connected on the defensive end. And I really think for them to get stops, they're a tall team, they can get rebounds, and then they can get their running game going and get easier offense. I think they have to play good defense, which leads to them being able to get into transition and get some easier baskets, because they're not doing well on defense and they're not doing well on the half court offense, and that's a bad combination.
Tip off again, 4 o'clock tomorrow, Hawkeyes and Nittany Lions, and then it's on the road to Bloomington. Archie Miller and the Hoosiers, they've stubbed their toe early on in the season, getting ready for conference play. And then it's Iowa State, then they step back and play, I think it's Southern University, a couple of the other teams they draw. Drake is the draw this year, right, mm-hmm. in the Hy-Vee Classic, and then Big Ten play picks up again toward the end of the month, the first of 2018 in January as well. So we'll see. You and I are both going to be there tomorrow, 4 o'clock. Again, Carver Hawkeye Arena tickets still available. Hey, quick shout-out. I know we've got people out there that always complain we don't talk about UNI sports enough on the program, and if we had 4 hours. Just kidding. I don't want to give management any ideas, but give a quick shout-out to the UNI volleyball team. They swept ACC co-champion Louisville to advance to the second round of the NCAA volleyball tournament. The Panthers are going to take on either North Dakota or number 7 Minnesota on Saturday. So UNI volleyball getting things done. We'll see if the football team can get things done this weekend as they go back up to Brookings to face South Dakota State for the second time this year. This time, playoff implications are not on the line. It is a playoff game. The winner will advance to the FCS quarterfinals. Speaking of football, Hawkeyes and Cyclones going to find out their bowl destinations on Sunday afternoon. We'll have a complete breakdown for you on Monday's edition of the Todd Brommelkamp Show. Alex Kuhn will be back from Orlando, where his brother's playing in the AAC Championship game tomorrow. KGYM listeners, find that game and go ahead and put your Memphis Tigers rooting caps on for just one day. And I think it's going to be easy to do because the guy on the other sideline at Central Florida is Scott Frost. So gives you a little practice for when Frost is going to be on the other sideline at Kinnick Stadium coaching the Huskers. That's all but a done deal. A couple programs still looking for head coaches, and now Florida State, the job there open after Jimbo Fisher left for Buku Bucks at College Station, Texas A&M. 6:52, we'll step aside and take a quick break. When we come back, your final Midwest One Bank Big Board update of the night is on the way, and then it's off to high school basketball. Back with more of the Todd Brommelkamp Show after this.
Looking for a career that you can actually be excited about? Look no further than CCC Information Services. CCC is now hiring remote customer service positions in the Cedar Rapids area. This position processes inbound calls and enters vehicle data for potential total loss insurance claims. The best part? You work from the comfort of your own home, not a call center. No commuting and no cost filling the gas tank.
Great candidates will have 2 to 3 years of customer service experience, excellent verbal and written communication skills, and the ability to travel to Sioux Falls for paid training. CCC Information Services is a stable, growing employer, and they're eager to meet talented individuals with excellent customer service skills and a positive attitude. CCC offers competitive benefits, great bonuses, and career advancement opportunities. Starting pay is between $13 and $14 per hour. For full details and to apply online, go to cccis.com. CCC Information Services is an equal opportunity employer. Go to cccis.com right now.
6:54, holy cow, ESPN reporting that that Jimbo Fisher deal at Texas A&M is fully guaranteed. 10 years, $75 million. He is $75 million richer today, regardless of the outcome of his tenure at College Station. That is insane.
That's mind-blowing, the money but that's they're investing. But
they're all in.
Better win.
They're all in. And you know what? SEC, now we'll see how things play out there for him. He wanted out of Florida State, and I guess this shows you how bad it goes back. Did you see the guy get kicked out of his call-in show on Wednesday night? We had the audio yesterday.
No, I didn't see that.
Guy, the equivalent of going to Kirk Ferentz's call-in show and taking the open mic, and the guy basically said he was a big fan of him as a coordinator. He's a big fan of him as a head coach. He wanted to know where the loyalty was. They quickly shooed him out of the building, and the host of the show moved on. He goes, "Well, the loyalty's here every Wednesday night. Let's head back to the phone lines." It was something to behold, but 10 years, $75 million guaranteed. What I can guarantee you right now is we owe you one more Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
Fran McCaffrey spoke to the media today in Iowa City. He says Connor McCaffrey still isn't cleared for contact, but he has been participating in non-contact drills and has a chance to be cleared fully next week. Matt Campbell and the Cyclones got a commitment this evening from linebacker Chandler Pulvermacher from Heartland, Wisconsin. Pulvermacher is 6'2" and 190 pounds and had previously been committed to North Dakota State. The Iowa State women fell to Drake last night, 83-80, to fall to 3-3 on the season. Drake controlled the game from the get-go and led 41-31 at halftime, and led by Sarah Ryan with 24 points, were able to hold off a late push by the Cyclones. The Bulldogs moved to 4-3. Friend of the show and now former Colonels manager Tommy Watkins is going to be heading out of town as the Twins have announced some changes to their minor league system. Another former Colonels manager, Jake Maurer, is said to be weighing his professional options, and Watkins is going to take over for him at AA Chattanooga. Tonight after the show, we're going to have some high school basketball for you. We'll have North Scott and Prairie in a boys matchup on 1600 AM, the historic main gym. And we'll also have the Cedar Rapids Kennedy girls traveling to Iowa City High on 106.3 FM, the South Gym, as well as 107.5 FM, the North Gym. And it's going to be our first weekend with no football from the Hawkeyes or Cyclones, but the UNI Panthers have a playoff game tomorrow against 6th-ranked South Dakota State. We'll carry it for you beginning at 1 o'clock on 1600 AM, the historic main gym.
All right, final, let's call it about 90 seconds here. Great show so far today. Appreciate your feedback and your participation on the Hertine and Stocker text line. Again, we'll be back doing it on Monday. Alex comes back from Orlando. Final guess, Rob, as to where the Hawkeyes are going to be heading Sunday evening, Sunday afternoon, when the news trickles out.
I'm sticking with the Music City Bowl. I know that's somewhat self-serving or, you know, very self-serving, but I think that's the best spot for them. And I still do think that what a school wants plays into this equation. And I think Iowa's been bending the ear of Jim Delaney now for a couple weeks saying, hey, this is what our fans want. Can you make this happen?
It's the one bowl game I think that they feel really strongly about getting a good turnout for. And I think that could play into, look, the Big Ten has to worry about perception as well. And we're going to have to talk to Gary Barta about this tomorrow, and that always I hate talking to him anyway. But we're going to talk to him less than 24 hours before the he's not going to be able to say anything tomorrow. But we'll have the update for you by the next time you hear from us. We're going to know where Iowa and Iowa State are headed. John Walters, the play-by-play voice of the Cyclones, joins us on Monday, as does Mac McCausland, and we'll have a whole lot more for you. Thanks for listening. High school basketball's on the way tonight. Check out the full schedule, KGYMradio.com. Have a good weekend.
Is your power tool not working? Does your mower or chainsaw need maintenance? If you're having these issues with your power equipment or just need something tuned up, let the factory-trained technicians at Acme Tools fix the problem for you. We'll assess the issue.